It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morning, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ah, Tamarie, I'm still thawing out. It was a bit cold when I left home at 6 o'clock this morning. It was about 6 degrees, but the sun's shining out there, and it looks really good for the rest of the week leading into Matariki.
It does indeed. It does. Let's start with Matariki. That's a really special thing this week. Obviously, Matariki does happen every year, but it is the first time that as a country we're actually acknowledging it with a public holiday. And there's quite a lot of cool stuff happening around Tāmaki Makaurau to celebrate. What are some of the things you're looking forward to?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's great that we've got a public holiday on Friday. Well, it's always great when we have a public holiday, I guess. But this is something that acknowledges, you know, this is specifically acknowledging one of the most important events in the Māori calendar, which is the start of the Māori New Year, Matariki, and we had the first event up on Ngāti Whātua at Ōrākei Point this morning. But what's happening? Well, there's a whole range of things. We've got a big lighting and sculptural experience that will be in the city centre. That runs from today right through to the 16th of July. That's going to bring some light and colour to the city centre. Look out for the impressive light show that's going to be on the Chief Post Office building on Lower Queen Street, and that will tell the story of Matariki. And then as you go up Queen Street, you'll see these fantastic huge birds on crosswires above Queen Street, some with wingspans of more than 4 metres.
Wow.
So that's fun. There'll be something at the Aotea Square. But we've got about 80 events across Tāmaki Makaurau. And, well, where do you start? Stuff out happening out at Te Whanau or Waiperera, if you're out at the west, to Karangahapi, Karangahapi Road, as we know it, starting on Thursday. You've got live music, art, performance, fashion, food and markets. Stardome, if anywhere near the Stardome, look out for the free nightly show where they'll be lasering lights up into the air from, really happening now, right up to the 25th of June. And, yeah, that's just a start. So
awesome.
Lots of things to do.
Lots of things to do indeed. Council website's probably a good place to find some of those links, I'd imagine.
Yeah. They'll set out some of the vast array of events that we're putting on across the city.
Excellent. It is really lovely to see it celebrated in such a big way this year, and I'm sure that it will just get bigger as we carry on with this. Let's talk about Queen Street now. We've heard some renewed calls, helmed by Chloe Swarbrick of the Green Party, who's the Auckland Central MP, to pedestrianise Queen Street. Now, this is not a new conversation. This is something that's been brought up time and again over the last couple of decades, but we are hearing a new petition brought forward and a really big push for it at the moment. What's your thoughts on it? Do you think we should be pedestrianising Queen Street? Is it something you'd personally like to see?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a couple of years ago, I think I was in the Herald when it wasn't quite fashionable to talk about pedestrianising Queen Street, but saying, look, we want Queen Street to be a destination, not a thoroughfare. And look, we're making really good progress on that. If you look at the bookends of Queen Street, anybody that, you know, walks along the upgraded Karangahapi Road or along Key Street at the other end of the Queen Street, and, you know, down by Komititanga outside the Britam Arts Station and Commercial Bay to Wananga on the waterfront, all of those things have now been completed, and they've really got, you know, they've won really acclaim from the public and the local businesses down there. I think that shows the success of what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now looking at working to extend that vision up to other parts of Queen Street. And already if you walk down Queen Street, you'll see the broadening of the footpath, sometimes by up to 9 metres in some areas. And we're moving towards a two-lane roadway, which allows for buses, service vehicles and emergency vehicles.
Right.
But we're looking at increasingly excluding private vehicles. So we still need to keep those two lanes open. While we've got the City Rail Link closures on Albert Street, a lot of buses have got to run down Queen Street, so we need our public transport system. But we're moving progressively to make changes to make Queen Street much more pedestrian-friendly. So that's happening. It's happening progressively. Not everybody has the same opinion, so we've got to carry people with us. So Heart of the City is saying, oh, just go slowly on this. You know, And look, I understand. They don't want to see the disruption of suddenly digging up Queen Street. They're just trying to recover from COVID and from all of those things and the disruption caused by construction. So it is a progressive movement, but it is happening and we will get there. And just look at what we've done already at both ends of Queen Street. You can see what the potential is to really transform the heart of the city.
One of the other things we've heard a lot of conversation about in regards to Queen Street is opening up the river or the Awa coming that comes underneath the street at the moment, which was a man-made action. Is that something that you would like to see or that you think is feasible for us to achieve?
Well, I've seen the renders of it, but it would be pretty difficult. And, you know, we romantically think of a river. But, you know, from the early parts of the settlement of Auckland after 1840, that river wasn't quite as we'd imagine an idyllic place to be. It was more of a rubbish and stormwater drain. Could you restore it? I think it would be really hard. I mean, it's got a limited catchment area. It's not like the Avon River running through Christchurch, for example. We're restoring the names. Tawai or Horatu is the name of the new station at Aotea. But I, you know, while the renders look really good, I think that would be really hard to do. And
but is it hard? Is it hard impossible, or is it just hard? Maybe too hard basket. We're not touching it. Type of hard. Why aren't we having a conversation about it?
Because I think, one, the disruption of doing it, and two, the end product would be, I would imagine, pretty expensive. I'm happy for people look to work through the concepts and to work up what the budget might be, but I don't see that as being realistic in the first instance. What I see as being realistic in the first instance is having that pedestrian mall where Queen Street belongs to the people that are visiting there, and that's going to change too as Queen Street transforms. Because at the moment, Queen Street has been the prime victim in Auckland of COVID. So a lot of closed shops. Mm-hmm. It needs to reinvent itself. We've got, you know, there'll be cruise ships coming back. There's international students coming back, international tourists coming back, more office workers coming back to work at least, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days a week in the office. So all of that's going to help transform Queen Street as well. But having a river down the middle of it, frankly, from my perspective, it's a little hard to conceive how that would fit in to making that a pedestrian-friendly area. I think it would probably be too expensive, too difficult, and too disruptive. But, hey, if people have got ideas about it, let's keep an open mind.
OK, well, let's talk about the JIB crisis, because I'm interested in the way Auckland Council's been responding to this. Now, for broad strokes, we're having an absolute shortage of many building supplies, but JIB being a big one. There's been a lot of pressure on Fletchers for their sort of monopoly over this material. Now, what is Auckland Council doing to free up a bit of action here for the many building projects we've got happening across the city?
Well, what we're looking at doing is approving a range of other plasterboards. I mean, it shows how strong that monopoly is. We all talk about JIB board. That is the trade name for Winston Building Products, which is owned by Fletchers. And as you said before, they now control 95% of the market. Now, in my mind, it's never healthy to have a single, you know, one product controlled to such a massive extent by a single company, because competition brings competition in prices and ensuring that people are more responsive to the market. Now, you've got to say, I mean, Fletchers have been caught in a bit of a storm here. It's not entirely their fault, but I think they've got to share some of the blame for it. Fletchers, they had to close down the JIB board plant during, you know, the lockdowns during COVID. That happened at exactly the same time as we're building houses at an unprecedented rate. You know, the latest figures I've got is April, and that shows that, you know, we're 9 short of an all-time record again at the time when you think we might be slowing down. And they're also building a new plant, and that plant's not yet concluded. But what a lot of builders and designers are doing, they specify JIB board rather than plasterboard. And JIB board is a specific product. Now, what we're trying to do is to alleviate the pressure. Our inspectors, they do about 800 houses a day. But, maybe 40 of those are looking at products other than jibboard, other types of plasterboard that we can use. But we've still got to get it here. And one of the problems is that supply chain crisis that was also caused by COVID. It's hard to get products down here. But I'm looking at one firm that's saying, well, look, we're using a product out of Thailand. It takes 4 weeks, not 4 months, to wait for the backlog of from Fletcher's, and we can get it 40% cheaper. Now, I don't care whether they import it or make it here. We've got a shortage. Yep. We've got to deal with that shortage because it's holding up the construction industry.
Well, we will come back to this one because I think it will be, well, it is an ongoing conversation and it's a big one to get stuck into. But thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. Enjoy your Matariki weekend and we will see you in next week.
Yeah, and happy Matariki to everybody. Well, you can sleep in if it's a cold morning and then go out and enjoy the sunshine. So, hey, make the most of a short week. Okay. Ka kite anō.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.